Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on over there? Fire?
How you doing, Stanky Lane?
What's up, man?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox. Let's go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bow, bow, bow.
Go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bow, bow, bow.
Walt Dick, well, yeah.
Hey, you fired up?
Hello! Welcome to the show!
Hello!
Well, you seem to be playing a lot more comfortable this final series. There was a play, I think you had a behind-the-back layup where you went up, and then you're making crazy threes. Do you feel a lot less pressure this finals run just because you are undermanned as opposed to previous years?
No. I feel confident because I'm the best player in the world. It's simple.
But in regards to pressure with the games playing, do you feel as if this finals team and this is a little less?
Nah, I mean, for me, I put the work in. I put the work in every single day, either when you guys are there or when you guys are not there. Some of our beat writers see me. They know how much work I put into it. And I give everything to my teammates. Shouldn't be crazy when I make threes, though. Just a shot.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. 617-779-0985. And, of course, the voice of LeBron James. He is not wrong. He's the best player in the world. But that's getting his teammates all riled up.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, yeah, you are the best.
Yeah, we're just kind of here to support you. High five.
Yep.
I'll be your buddy.
At 7 o'clock today, Dan Lifshitz and
Joe Murray.
Joe Murray come in.
The Bankroll Brothers.
Because there's the big news that the Supreme Court has ruled that it's up to the states to allow sports gambling.
Huge day for those two. It is like the Super Bowl for these guys.
Yeah, by the time they're 60, they'll be able to.
It's if Congress actually doesn't step in.
Yeah,
makes it even a longer wait.
Many, many, many right. things. It's going to take a long, 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 long time.
Everything I've read says that Massachusetts is kind of middle of the pack. Like, they're not one of these states that's right there ready to go. Because there's, like, I mean, from what I've read, Jersey's going to be ready to take bets by the NBA Finals. Like, within a week, they're going to be ready to go. But then there's a couple states that have already laid the groundwork. Massachusetts is, I think they've just put out a study. Like, that's been thrown out there. And they're, you know how, like, they like to do these studies to do research, like they did with the marijuana thing to figure out and get all this data and stuff. Basically, it's just pussyfooting around to make them feel like they're doing something socially responsible.
No, or they can just not do it.
They're going to do it. I mean, there's no doubt they're going to do it.
I know, but I'm reading these things about how long it's going to take. Years. Just years and years and years.
That's if the states do it. And apparently Orrin Hatch today is going to step up and introduce legislation to nationalize the thing. So good luck in getting it done quick.
See, I think that the Massachusetts is going to have it done by the time that the win opens, or actually the encore opens, which is next summer. Is that right? Next June, I think they're saying, because there's no way with all this going on that they're not going to try to find some more way to get money out of all of this.
And, well, the leagues have had to find a way to get their cut,
mm-hmm.
and then it's going to become kind of crappy. Because you're going to be paying a vig to the states, and so it's just you. I don't know.
That's what's going to take it so long. Everyone has their fingers in it.
Yeah.
Who gets what slice
right.
of the pie? And then, of course, there'll be disagreements, and you know, the states will say, "Well, we should get this much." And
no, it's the states, and then it's the leagues.
It's just
like
amazing.
The leagues are trying to figure out, and then the leagues want to do stuff like they want to have
You can bet from the stands only if you're in the at the game.
Yeah,
I have no confidence in any of this happening quickly. I mean, you're right. New Jersey's been ready for this for what, 5 years at least?
As a matter of fact,
Chris Christie was at the forefront of this.
What is that place called? Monmouth Park?
Is it Monmouth?
Yes, okay.
It's Monmouth.
It's that super old racetrack that they've had there for like 150 years, and they've had it basically rebuilt and set and ready to do this for like 5 years. And now that it's all set, they're saying that within like the next 5 days, they're going to be able to start taking bets. Now, there's a couple states, I believe like New York, Mississippi.
Pennsylvania, I think, is in there too.
Pennsylvania, yeah. That they're saying West within Virginia. Like the next couple of months,
The
groundwork has already been laid. New York, I think, is one of them as well.
I mean, New Jersey has casinos, so I mean, yeah.
But sports betting, completely different animal.
No, and I understand what it is, but I'm just saying that they already have legalized gambling there.
Sure. So this is going to be, it's going to be interesting. I see everything I've read, and maybe it's worth possibly having Burt Breer, because Burt Breer read a really good article about what he's learned about these owners and what they're trying to do. But as far as Massachusetts is concerned, from everything I've read, it doesn't sound like this is going to be something that's like excruciatingly long. I've heard like a year.
Okay.
So,
well, that's what they said. Well, it took like 3 years for the whole marijuana thing to...
Yeah, we still don't have it yet. Right. I mean, that's true.
The glacial pace upon which our government works and acts.
But I think here's the major difference is that I think Massachusetts is going to see that all of the states around them are going to be making a ton of money and they're going to be losing cash. Unlike marijuana, this is something that is going to be a pressing problem right now.
I still wonder.
Well, I mean, you make a ton of money off of selling weed.
And betting.
No, I know. And it took them forever to get the weed thing happening.
I still wonder how much this is going to damage Las Vegas, if at all, and how much it'll damage Foxwoods and Mohegan Sun. How much money will that take away from the casinos in Vegas and the casinos in Connecticut?
See, I think it's going to be opposite because it's this is sports gambling. You weren't able to do that at Foxwoods or Mohegan Sun anyway.
Okay.
So you're not taking any money away from them.
I plead ignorance. No, I really do. I don't know these things.
You can do table games. You can do all that kind of betting there, but they've never had sports gambling. That's been something that's been relatively
regulated. No, but if the win does, or whatever the hell they're calling it.
Well, but so will Foxwoods. I mean, that's the thing, is that all of these casinos will now have it.
But Foxwoods is in Connecticut.
Yeah, and they're going to get it before the Wynwood. Connecticut is on the forefront. They're one of the states that's ready to pounce right now, after New Jersey. New Jersey, like, literally right now, like this week, they're going to be ready to roll. But then there's other ones that, it's like about a half dozen. And for some reason, I guess because Mississippi has all those casinos like Biloxi and everything ready to go.
Yeah, the most of the places that you talked about already have legalized gambling.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if you go to St. Louis, you can go to the Casino Queen, home of the loosest slots.
Slots are loose and ready to pay.
That's right. So, I'll tell you, it's still a lot easier to go through someone. You don't have to drive to the casino.
I'm going to enjoy just going right to my phone. That's going to be the best one, is when you're able to do it on your app, because it sounds like that is what's going to be happening very, very soon.
Well, if you can do it through an app, it depends what they want. But if you can do it through an app and it's all the same, then obviously the app is the way to go.
Well, that's DraftKings, because DraftKings, it's funny, because I have a feeling when DraftKings launched, they knew that. They saw the future, because this thing's been in the system for how long have they been trying to get this in? So they were probably like, okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to make a little bit of money doing this fantasy football thing. You know, make a tiny bit of money. But if for some reason this passes and gambling is legalized, we'll already have all of these clients who are essentially gambling on our app ready to go. And they've got already installed in their phone, and now they can legally bet on games. I saw that guy all over Jason. I forget what his name is. They're local here. I saw him all over TV yesterday, and boy, are they going to be the biggest winners in all of this.
Because Kraft has got his hand in these fantasy things, and Jerry Jones has got his hand in these fantasy
things. Kraft was smart. He jumped on. He knew what was coming, and I think a lot of these owners knew what was coming. And so I know that Adam Silver, for the longest time, has been the one commissioner who's been a massive advocate for sports gambling.
Yeah, he wants 1%. NBA wants 1%.
Yep.
Of all the gambling.
Mm-hmm. Which is massive. 1% of the billions of dollars that are going to be coming in is massive. And I got to think that the NFL is like the one organization that's still trying to feign the integrity of the game.
They're the one who made the phone call to Orrin Hatch the second that happened yesterday.
Well, the NFL
said, hurry up.
Well, no, the NFL is just trying to put themselves in a place where they can negotiate
sure
a huge payout.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
The integrity of the game, all right. So, yeah, if you can do it on an app and it's in the United States and it's guaranteed payments and you don't get screwed like Norm MacDonald when he yeah. lost hundreds of thousands of dollars using an overseas betting site that ended up taking away his money.
See, that's the thing that always made me nervous about like online gambling and stuff. Because, I mean, you know, we'll, obviously our bankroll brothers, they do a decent amount of that from what I've been told. That would always make me nervous. And it was the Norm story that did it because he had six figures, he told us, in like an account, an yeah. online account. And when all of those offshore poker places just went away, so did all of that money. Like, you can't get it back. You can't demand your money back or sue a company that was doing something illegal. I mean, there's no way to get that back. It was gone.
Yeah. So, and I think that those guys get paid in Bitcoin, if I remember correctly.
Which guys?
The Lifshatz.
Oh, yeah. One of them mentioned that. Yeah, and I forget who did what, but you're right. It was like the cyber coins.
Yeah. So, it should be interesting. I don't know if it's going to make me bet any more or any less because I rarely gamble. Because the only thing about gambling that I find fun is if I gamble to a degree where it would hurt if I lost.
Here's where it's going to be fun, and that is March Madness. That you'll be able to go to a place here and be able to have that Vegas experience where you're sitting in a sports right. book and you're able to look around and bet on all the games for an afternoon. That's where it's going to be fun.
You're going to be Magical Everett.
That's right.
The lights are bright in Everett.
That's what it's going to be. Bring a little class to Everett.
Yeah, it's going to be the regular Ocean's 11 over there. It's the rat pack, and it's literally a pack of rats.
You have to wonder, however, if there's going to be in places like the Cask and Flagon, like betting terminals that you can go and like bet while you're in the bar. I mean, if you're doing it on your phone, I guess it's really no different. But, I mean, you would have to think that if it's legal, why wouldn't you put one in there if yeah. you get a cut from it? Well, in every sports bar, why not have like a stand or something?
They'll legislate all this stuff down to, I mean, whatever makes the government the most money is what they'll do. I don't even know if you'll be able to do it on your phone. I don't know. I mean, they might just say you have to do it at the casino. And then if you have to do it at the casino,
there's going
to
be different levels. From what I read, because it's the state who's able to make the decision on how much they want this legalized. That's basically all this thing was yesterday with the Supreme Court saying that it's the state's decision.
Right.
Like places like Utah will never have gambling. I think sure. it's like in their like state laws that's completely good. It's going to stay illegal. But there are some states who will just want it in a place like the Wynn or rather the Encore. You have to go to like Plain Ridge or someplace like that. But then there's some that are just like, we want it anywhere. Like you could go to a gas station and you can gamble on sports if they have a kiosk there. And they don't want to restrict it at all. Like West Virginia. For some reason, West Virginia is right on the forefront as well. They've laid the groundwork.
They're probably desperate for money.
You're probably right. Yeah, I mean, if that helps the education system there, absolutely.
Do you think that'll find its way into the...
No.
You know what? My wife's college...
to improve education in West Virginia?
Well, think about this.
It will be earmarked to do so, and then it won't.
Just magically disappear?
You know, my wife's college was paid for by the lottery. Like, she got a scholarship.
Where'd she go?
She went to Georgia Tech. Went to like a really good school.
They had that Hope scholarship.
Yeah.
Right?
So if like your family made like under a certain amount of money and you had a certain like GPA in high school, you got a scholarship if you stayed in state. Mm-hmm. So she got basically all of her entire education was paid for. Now she had to do like room and board, but I mean that doesn't suck. So this stuff does work.
Yeah, it depends. Because
now I don't count on the government of West Virginia to be on the up and up as much as some states.
I don't know exactly what Detroit's accomplished by having three legal casinos. I don't know how much of that has gone back into the infrastructure of the city.
So there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be outraged and shaking their fist this morning.
Happiness comes from feeling good about yourself.
Breaking the mold on sports radio in Boston.
Is that why I thought of Sesame Street?
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, this is Toucher and Rich.
Last night.
5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, what is going on?
Well, as we were mentioning, it's soon maybe time to send a bouquet of flowers and a breakup letter to your bookie because it looks like you ain't going to need them much longer. Yesterday, the Supreme Court struck down a federal law that prohibits sports gambling in a landmark decision that gives states the go-ahead to legalize betting on sports. So does that mean gambling is legal? Not exactly. Just mean now it's the state's decision instead of the federal government. And as residents of Massachusetts, I was mentioning, the future looks pretty bright if you like putting money on games. Not as bright as Jersey, where they are going to be ready to go within the week. There are several states that already have the groundwork for the FACTA adaptation. And here are the ones that I was talking about. Delaware, Mississippi, New York, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. Those are the ones that look like within the next several months, they may have the groundwork ready to go. As far as Massachusetts, they have laid a little less groundwork, but they've got that study I was talking about, which means that at least they're in the right direction. And the Encore and Casino in Everett, you know, is going to have a sports book by the time that opens. And that's June of next year. On top of that,
I honestly don't know that. There's got to be so much negotiation about who gets what and how the money's divided. The marijuana stuff is takes forever.
When are those going to open? Is it? I heard it's like this summer, right? The dispensaries. It's first week of July. Is that right? So that will have been 2.5 years.
Yeah.
So and that makes
the government an awful lot of money too. Which I don't know where that's earmarked for, but
the government.
Just these things are earmarked to certain stuff, and I don't really, I guess I could do more research, but I choose not to.
Yeah, the only thing that I could see them actually making them want to speed this through is that on the list of states that are right underneath that is like New York is one, and with the Connecticut and all these states around you taking all of your money away, people going to those states to do the sports gambling, I could see a little bit of urgency, unlike in the marijuana department.
Be as urgent as you want, but I agree with Fred. Once the U.S. government steps in, then there are so many hands in the pie, you have an immense amount of negotiation to decide who gets what. How much does the state get? How much does the federal government get? How much does the actual sports book get?
Yeah.
I mean, there are
How
much does the league get? There are so many hands reaching out for cash that it is going to take forever.
Well, especially here.
My theory, yeah. Yes. Here,
although they have one of their biggest advocates in Robert Kraft.
I don't think even Robert Kraft, as good a soldier as he is for many causes, I don't think he can speed this up. Mm-hmm. I don't think so.
You may be right. Well, on top of that, as I was mentioning, one of the big winners is going to be online betting and apps like DraftKings, who is already ready to pounce on the new legalization. Here's DraftKings CEO Jason Robbins yesterday. Right here.
It was actually a very interesting law. It was a law that I think well beyond sports betting has constitutional implications because it didn't actually make sports betting illegal federally. It told the states what they could or couldn't do with their own laws. So I'm not surprised it got struck down. We're actually very happy to see that, and we'll be entering the market as soon as we're able.
Let's talk about the size of this market potentially, because we know that's an enormous market for bookies and you know, more than that's even probably gambled legally right now.
Yeah, so it's hard to estimate because it's the black market, but I've seen numbers in the hundreds of billions of dollars spent each year in the U.S. on the black market illegally wagering. We think most of that, as the states legalize, will move into the light, and obviously it'll depend on which states and how quickly, but we'll be prepared with every state to enter as quickly as possible. There's been several that have passed laws. Regulations and licenses still need to be issued, so it won't be live tomorrow, but we think a lot of states are going to push for NFL.
Are you prepared to any of the states to go right now to hit the ground running?
Well, they won't allow anybody until they actually pass regulations and then issue licenses. So we'll be ready. Hopefully, we'll be one of the first ones in. And
okay, the one thing he said later on that interview that I found very interesting is that he said that they did some research, and he said 80% of the people who already use the DraftKings app are already involved in the black market sports gambling. So he said, so this is going to make it so much easier. We already have all these people who have apps on the phones ready to go, and they're ready to actually start taking bets as soon as every state legislates it. And they've all have got, like, you know, GPS. They can figure out whether or not you are in a state at the time when you're making the bets. I mean, it's true. And it's weird, too, because when you go to Vegas, they give you, like, you can get from the sports book basically what is like a little cell phone. And you can walk around and throughout the city just place bets right on this little phone that they give you. Like, you could be up in your hotel room and place a bet downstairs. They've had that for a couple of years now.
I'm aware of this.
Yeah, so that technology's been around for them to be able to track where you are. But, I mean, that's something that I think for, like, the last 5 years has been available if you actually go out to Nevada. So, I mean, that's the next step. And that's where the real money's going to be made, is not going to the casinos and doing all that. If you can do it online, and you can do it right on your phone, and you can do it while you're sitting and watching a game, as you said, Fred,
right,
and they can completely update, like, to the minute, this is going to help ratings for all these games, too. As much as fantasy sports helped it, this is going to take it to a new level. And I love the fact that the NFL is trying to play sanctimonious when they all know that there's millions upon millions of dollars that every one of these owners can make.
Yeah, they're negotiating.
Sure. Posturing.
Exactly. And one of the most interesting things, and I don't see how this will work, because I think you could do it from anywhere, and it was in Breer's article, is that, you know, you can make bets during the game, second half bets, and who's the first completion going to go to.
And they're all updated in real time. That's the great thing, too, if you have it on your phone.
But they're saying that you'd only be able to do it if you were at the stadium, and that's the idea the NFL has to get, because people are not going to games at the same rate that they used to, and that the idea is that you'll go to the games. But And again, we'll talk to him about this later, but I have no idea how you could restrict that only to the stadium.
Yeah, if it's legalized, it's legalized, right? Well, then again, I guess every state can figure out how to do it one way or the other.
Yeah, but if I have a DraftKings app, like, how would they even know I was in the stadium?
It's GPS. I mean,
no,
but to pinpoint right in the stadium,
yeah,
that's crazy.
No, they can't. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how this all happens.
Maybe they give you a code when you go into the stadium.
Yeah, but then I could give the code to 17 people I know.
Well, never underestimate, too, the amount of advertising that these stadiums are going to be able to make just from all of these casinos wanting to advertise at their place.
Oh,
I mean, that's the other thing. That's huge money for each one of these owners.
Yeah, because right now you're not allowed to use casino.
Yep.
The word casino, if you advertise with the NFL.
Well, I told you when I went out to Caesar's Palace, I was not allowed to bet on the Boston Celtics because there's somebody who is a minority owner of the team who has some sort of stake in Caesar's. I got to think all of that's gone if that's the case then. Then it doesn't matter. You just bet on whatever you want, whenever you want.
Yeah, I would imagine that's the case. All right, Rich, what do we have coming up?
Well, we got a little bit of Celtics news. Looks like Tyronn Lue is going to try to do something that's not idiotic. On top of that, we have a little bit of audio from the Red Sox game last night. Johnny Gomes.
He's something.
I was at the game, but people were tweeting me all night. I was in the presence of a renegade. I felt a little bit more like a badass walking around Fenway.
He's a treasure.
But I did find some audio of Gomes last night that is just as Gomesy as it gets. You know,
if someone has a thick California accent, that's almost as bad as anything else. Like, Gomes has got that thick California accent, like, dripping of California. And it really bothers me. So many things about that man bother me.
Is that where he's from?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, listen to him talk. He's got that. I'll have to hear him, and I'll try to point it out.
Okay.
All right. Here are the headlines.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what else is going on?
Well, so the Celtics, hot off their Game 1 beatdown of the Cleveland Cavaliers, are preparing for the game where LeBron James actually tries. So we.
It's funny, like, all the analysis that was going on and all the, you know, what's Cleveland going to do, and I know what you're going to get to here about the new lineup, and it really just comes down to. I mean, Boston, by no way, shape, or form, you know, is not capable of winning the series. I mean, they could obviously win this series. There's no question about it. The Cleveland's a very flawed team. There is talk of this being the worst surrounding cast of that LeBron's had, even though the most dominant performance I've ever seen from a basketball player is when they played the Pistons in the Eastern Conference Finals when he was like 2.
I think since he left Cleveland the first time, it's the worst surrounding cast, yes.
But it really does come down to if he tries.
Well, I mean, you're right.
I mean, it's not a blowout if he tries.
Yeah.
Like, now, Boston obviously could win, But, you know, all the hand-wringing and, you know, shuffling of lineups and things like that, it really just comes down to him going off.
Well, Fred, we saw it during the Indiana Pacers series because in game one, he lost, and or the team lost. And then in game two, he went crazy.
46 and 12. And even though he went for 46 points, 12 rebounds, and I think 5 or 6 assists, they only won by 3.
Yeah, they barely
they
won.
At home.
And he, yeah, at home. But
they won.
They did win. But the fact that he went crazy and scored legit half of his team's points.
Oh, sure.
And they still only won by 3.
Yeah.
And the other thing that can make you feel good about being a Celtics fan is that the Indiana defense isn't anything near what the Celtics have going on right now. But once again, LeBron James, as we know, does this. And game one, he absolutely took plays off. There were about 4 plays that I just saw him not get back on defense and just stay on the other end of the court. And you're not going to see that tonight. Game two is going to be completely different. He even said post-game, you know, as much as we make fun of him for being cocky, he was telling the truth. He's like, you know, a lot of times game one, I just used to figure another team out.
Yeah, the confidence he exuded after getting blown away in game one is a little unnerving.
Because he can afford to have it.
That's
right,
true.
It makes you nervous. But the one thing is that Brad Stevens continues to be saying is that we know he's going to go crazy in game two, and we have to prepare for that. But one thing that Brad Stevens has been getting lately is universal praise for what he's been able to do with the pieces he has, and all that praise is making him just a little bit uncomfortable.
It's silly. You know, the praise is uncomfortable. And it's just something that these guys should be getting it all. And we all have a role to play, and we all need to play that role as well as we can.
Said like the greatest coach of all time.
Yes.
But one guy who also wants you to pump the brakes on anointing Brad Stevens as the chosen one is the Chief. Here's Robert Parrish on the praise Brad Stevens has received.
I think he gets a little too much praise, but I like what he's doing. They giving him all the love like he done won 3 or 4 championships. Hey, come on now. Win something first. All the love he getting. Now, granted, don't get me wrong. He's a solid coach. I give him that.
Yeah, I
but
mean,
the love that he's getting from the media. You think the Celtics don't won 2 or 3 championships? You would think. No.
You know, but everybody bases, you know, when, you know, we base when players are.
Okay, well, that was well said by the host. I don't know where he was going with that.
I don't know what he said that was so incredibly funny either. I mean, it's like having a good old time.
You know somebody who no one's calling a genius? Tyronn Lue. And when he's not busy staring into the nothingness with his mouth agape, he's trying to figure out how the hell does he prevent his team from another drubbing like his team received in game one. Looks like he's going to change that lineup.
Looking at the statistics over the last 3 years of at least 30 possessions, out of all the guys that guarded Al Horford, Tristan is number one in the league defending Al Horford. So that's a good thing to know.
All right, so it looks like you're going to see a little bit. That's a good thing to know.
That's so sneaky. What could he possibly do?
You can hear the wind. You can hear the wind going in through his open mouth.
It did, and it's funny that it just occurred to him.
With that knowledge, with that knowledge, one wonders, A, why he didn't act sooner, or B, why no one told him that sooner.
No, that he was just, he wanted to, hey, wait a second, Al Horford played well. Is there a solution here?
Can I just get the sound of a vuvuzela? I want to play that every time he talks. I just imagine his mouth.
Like, this is information you couldn't have gotten before.
We have this information.
You had time.
Who on our team could possibly guard Al Horford?
Well, you know, it was working in the
I'd much rather have a bunch of shooters on the floor and not worry about the big guy down
low. That he couldn't figure out that this was the best matchup before the series. Pat, go ahead.
Hey, happy Tuesday, guys.
Hey.
I'm kind of embarrassed for you guys that you guys aren't getting into the analytics. Obviously, LeBron was taking plays off because that's part of the strategic game plan. He walks back on defense.
It worked out well, didn't it?
Games 2, 3, 4, 5.
Oh, yeah. Well,
we read
the Windhorse article.
Well, we did read the Windhorse article. And second of all, I don't think anyone's been embarrassed by their misunderstanding of analytics. Like, there's a lot of things in my life that I've been embarrassed by.
That's not what.
Things I've said on the air, bad sexual performances. There's many things that I've been embarrassed by, but a lack of understanding of analytics has never been one.
Tyronn Lue, what do you think? Close your mouth.
I'm telling you, we should do a bit. It's guys who can't close their mouth.
I do like that. Know your mouth breathers.
No, like Lackey had, like, you know, people that have trouble closing their mouths.
Oh,
like,
sure.
They can't close their mouth.
Yeah.
Like DA.
DA's got a teeth situation.
No, that's always what it is.
I don't think Tyronn Lue has big teeth. I think he's just one of these guys that's just slack jawed. Every time you see him, he's just looking into nothingness.
See, I'm talking about guys whose teeth are so big that they have trouble shutting their mouths. I've always been fascinated by that.
For some reason, this just popped in my head. Dr. Charles from the Red Sox.
I don't know anything about that. I haven't looked at Dr. Charles. I don't know.
Like, but
there's guys like, you know, like DA, it's a struggle. Can you imagine if you just were sitting there, like just standing there, that your mouth was perpetually open? Like your lips were perpetually open. Just like, yeah. Derp. Derp.
Yeah, I'm trying to think whether their athletes have that situation. I mean, it's perfect. Like, that's that guy was, but he had also a tongue. Like, he had, like, Jabba the Hutt tongue. It would just kind of have a mind of its own and just, like, roll around the inside of his mouth.
Yeah.
It's very odd, but.
I'm trying to think. Yeah, there's a bunch of guys that I'm thinking of someone.
Who's in the Slackjaw Hall of Fame?
Okay, this is such a random one. Do you remember in This Is 40?
Have you seen this?
You guys haven't seen This Is 40?
No, I have not.
Well, anyway, there's this kid with giant teeth, and now he's on this show, Brockmire, which I suggest to everyone. That's great. It's Hank Azaria, and he plays an alcoholic play-by-play guy for baseball. But the kid's grown, and he's just got giant teeth, and they're perplexed. I could look at someone with giant teeth that couldn't shut their mouth for an hour, and like just have nothing else going on. Just sit there and gaze at him. If there was like a carnival and they said there was a guy with the giant teeth, I would sit there and just sit there and look at him.
So we already have three people on the mouth breather at Mount Rushmore. We've got Tyronn Lue. We have John Lackey and DA. Who's the fourth head?
Yeah, well, I don't know, but it's like when you have a mouth guard in, and it's hard to close your mouth. Like, they have a mouth guard in all the time.
Kelly Olynyk, Dan says in the other room. Kelly Olynyk's not a bad one. That's not a bad one.
I want to say Peyton Manning, but that's not.
They're not big enough.
No,
Eli is slack-jawed, but it's not.
One of the Manning brothers has to be
there. There's Manning face. There's definitely a little bit of that with Eli Manning. His mouth is agape a lot.
My favorite quote about Eli is when we had Brandon Merriweather on, and we asked him about, hey, Eli looked like he might have something wrong with him, but that's not... That's not true. It was Brandon Merriweather.
All right, so we'll be back in just a moment.
Stay tuned for Touch
and
Rich on 98.5
The Sports Hub. Rich, what else is going on?
The Red Sox are no longer in first place, even when you count Providence.
Against this club, that one tagged right field deep. That one sailing back, and it clears the bullpen. Really has not been Rick Porcello's night. That's the second home run he's allowed. He'll make it 5-3.
That is Nesson, and Porcello allowed 5 runs in 6 innings last night, and the Red Sox opened their home stand with a 6-5 loss to Oakland. That loss resulted in the Sox falling out of first by a half game to the idle Yankees last night, who now have sole possession of the best record in baseball. After an excellent start to the season, Porcello has his ERA now has been 4.78 over the last 5 outings. He's allowed 5 runs in his last start against the Yankees as well. Not a good trajectory for what Porcello has been doing as of late. Here he is after the game.
Felt a lot better coming out tonight as far as stuff goes, but you know, at the end of the day, stuff doesn't get you W's. You got to go out there and make pitches, and got to rebound in 4 days and execute the pitches that I need to make.
But it's really all fun and games, because in the booth was a man by the name of Johnny Danger Gomes, who I heard yesterday was going off about drive-in theaters. I just had people tweet me about that.
I don't know. It's just he saw Die Hard at a drive-in, and he just started going nuts, thinking it was real.
He
took out 2 guns and started shooting the screen.
There was, at the beginning of the game, an animated discussion about Gomes, who kept his rookie league baseball card, and on the card, it showed him with batting gloves that were ripped.
Said, yeah, you know, that's all I had, man. We're going to play with ripped batting gloves. You got to rise and grind to succeed.
So in the rookie league, they do not afford you with batting gloves?
Apparently not.
It's so far outside of their budget that they don't have a
Dave
deal
O'Brien
with...
tried to throw him a life preserver, but...
They don't have any kind of deal with any sort of sports goods manufacturer.
I need that audio yesterday. Are you kidding me? He's bragging about playing with torn batting gloves.
Yes, it was a picture on his rookie league baseball card of torn batting gloves. Okay. It was in the first three innings of the game.
By the way, you're much better off not using batting gloves than torn batting gloves.
Right.
As in, the leather would move across your skin, creating blisters.
My hand was all ripped up. I swear to God, this actually happened.
But by the way, there's major league players who don't use batting gloves.
Yes.
So, and then the idea is that in rookie league ball, they do not give you, do you have to buy your own hat and uniform?
Dave O'Brien, as I remember it, said, well, you know, basically that argument to throw him the life preserver is like, well, you know what? You know, it's not like the majors where you have boxes of material that companies send you. You're stuck with the same pair of batting gloves.
What the hell is going on?
Johnny Gomes is lying. That's what's going on. Wait. To make himself look like more of a renegade, he's lying.
It was great.
So, of course he is.
In rookie league ball, they don't give you batting gloves?
Apparently you only get one pair.
And by the way, he couldn't afford batting gloves? This is such a lie on so many levels. I know you don't get anything in rookie league ball, and I know that these guys like share a two-room apartment.
Was mentioned by Dave O'Brien.
The salary's terrible.
You don't make a lot of money. No. And Gomes goes, no.
You don't. And you have to travel by bus and everything else.
That's right.
But
only
the idea, you know what? My son, who is turning 10 next week, bought himself batting gloves on Saturday. He went out to Modell's and he had money and he bought himself batting gloves. I said I'd buy them for him, but he wanted to use his own money. So my 9-year-old somehow patched together enough money, and that's true.
If anyone can remember what inning that was in, I honestly need to hear that today.
It was in the first three innings, I'm sure.
All right, positive. I want to hear that. I want to hear about the driving, apparently, but here was the highlight, apparently, of the evening. And that was when Johnny Gomes didn't realize that his microphone was still on. And
I'm so surprised, granted his intelligence.
And my man was a little bit hungry. So here's Johnny Gomes.
Has anyone got a raw deer?
Let's take a listen to Johnny Gomes trying to get some grub.
Bets lurking. Benintendi and Hanley Ramirez as well.
Corn or anything? Peanuts or something? Got to feed the machine.
Can you imagine dealing with that prick?
Check out my sleeve of tattoos, man.
No. You got to feed the machine. And anyone, like if Rich said to me, I got to feed the machine, I'd be like, oh, that's funny. Johnny Gomes means it.
He means it.
And by the way, nothing feeds the machine like some nuts, little peanut,
popcorn. Gotta feed the machine.
Gotta feed the machine, baby.
I gotta hear that again.
I gotta sit here for the next 2 hours.
That's
more Gomes.
Benintendi and Hanley Ramirez as well.
Corn or anything? Peanuts or something? Gotta feed the machine.
Are we aware of what tattoos he has?
Oh, yeah, he's got the one of, like, him holding the World Series trophy, but it's a giant beard. Remember? It's like a giant head of his on a duck boat with the World Series trophy, but his head is just one giant beard.
There's got to be some eagle situation going on him, too.
There's an American flag somewhere.
Hang on. Should we just play Johnny Gomes tattoo bingo? Like, you guys can write down what you think is on there? Let me see.
Yeah, there'll be something of, like, barbed wire or tribal. That has to be true.
There's an American flag.
See, I don't think that he gets the American flag.
No.
Unless it's around an eagle. It won't be just a straight American.
No, but in that case, we'd both be right.
Okay, yeah, sure. Like, it's an eagle with, like, a flag around
it. That's fair.
All I know is that I'm looking at one, and you're partially right. It is indeed an American flag, and there's an animal holding the American flag, but it ain't no eagle, all right? Eagle's a girl's animal, apparently.
Well, python. Is it a python?
No,
you can't do that. Is it like a tiger?
A wolf.
Is it a wolf?
It's a lion. It's a lion holding an American flag.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Show me that tattoo again.
What the hell is that?
It's a lion holding an American flag.
But it's, ladies and gentlemen, it's like a lion, like Snagglepuss. It's not like a tough-looking...
Oh, no. Hang on. This can't be real. That I have to look this up. If this is him, he quoted himself. Oh, my God. And his tattoo, I got to find the clip. He's got the lion holding, and this is from the Royals. So it's got a lion holding a flag, and underneath it, it says, "We whooped their ass."
Oh,
which
Jesus.
Is what he yelled when he was when he stole the whole entire post ceremony.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. So instead of being embarrassed about being a guy who wasn't even on the...
down, man. Yeah.
He's not even on the postseason roster.
Yeah. We whooped their ass!
That's right.
He quoted himself on his tattoo.
So you know how, and I'll tell the story again, you know how when there's stations that don't really cover sports and they get swept up in the excitement of the World Series or something? Well, there's this guy, Johnny Dare, who's on a rock station in Kansas City. And after that, after we played the audio of Gomes, I went and I was riding back home and listening to his show. And they were going, "Who's that jackass?
Who is this guy who didn't play in the postseason?"
Because no one knew who he was.
Alex Gordon. Alex Gordon. Alex Gordon. Alex Gordon.
I saw him on stage, and I knew he was going to try to take the microphone because he was carrying...
An American flag.
Of course, a giant American flag. And he was waving it back and forth. And then he started poking players in the ass with the top of the American flag who were talking on the mic. Like, "Look at me. Look at me. Look at me." How is this real?
99% of the people that watched that parade had no idea who Johnny Gomes was or that he was on the team. You have to remember, he did not play in the playoffs. He was not eligible to play in the playoffs. John, what was it? He played like five. He had like five at bats for them that year, or something like that.
Yeah, I'll check.
It doesn't really matter, but I'm
looking at the tattoos on Gomes. Actually,
I'm not far moment. Off. I mean, you would have to have watched every Royals game and like really paid attention to know that he was on that team.
There's a Statue of Liberty tattoo, the Golden Gate Bridge. No, World War II aircraft.
All right, stop.
Military dog tags.
You know what? Join the army. Like, join the military, dude. You're in good shape.
He's got. Is this a real tattoo? I have to. I'm looking at these.
Like, you getting an American flag tattoo.
He's got two American flag tattoos.
But that doesn't do anyone any good. Go join the military.
One says, "Tough times go away, right. Tough people don't."
I just saw that. The words "In the Arena" are tattooed on him.
If you get two American flag tattoos, you should have to join the military.
Right.
It's like stolen valor.
Yeah.
Like, join the military, dude.
Hang on. I think he does have an eagle.
Of course he has an eagle.
I'm looking at, because once again, I'm clicking on these things, and I think these are his.
Yeah, he has an eagle. There's no doubt about it. There will be no commercials here, just the headlines when we come back. Lifshatz and Murray,
the
bankroll brothers,
right.
Bankroll boys come in and they tell you about their gambling.